Well, David asked you a question this morning, which was pretty close to the one I was going to ask you, which is, how'd everyone sleep last night? I woke up kind of early this morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep about 2 hours before my alarm was supposed to go off. Wasn't high anxiety on my part, but I had enough going through my mind that it kept me awake this morning. Isn't that strange? I'm going to talk about anxiety this morning. That's often my experience. When I preach on anything, I can say, okay, I'll probably have some experience with that this week as I'm preparing. So I'd like to talk to you this morning about facing anxiety. Anxiety ranges from losing a little sleep in our lives sometimes to causing exhaustion because we can't sleep at all. The results of anxiety may range from putting off a task that we should start because we're kind of anxious about it. We put it off, to being totally paralyzed and not able to do anything, not able to function in our lives. And it's always a lot easier to address somebody else's anxiety than our own, right? It's easy to say, just relax, trust God in this. It's easy to say that to someone else, but it's hard to say it to ourselves, to accept it ourselves when we think about anxiety, when we get anxious. Sometimes it helps me when I'm talking about something is look at definitions. So if you look in the dictionary, look up anxiety, it says it's a state of uneasiness and apprehension as about future uncertainties. And so when you think about anxiety, that's kind of what brings it on sometimes. If we want to look at a little more technical sort of definition in the field of psychiatry, anxiety is a state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, fear resulting from the anticipation of a threatening event or situation, often to a degree that the normal physical and psychological functioning of the affected individual is disrupted. That's when we're really feeling anxious. Maybe sometimes it becomes kind of chronic. It stays with us. It sticks with us. Another definition of anxiety, which is interesting, is this: eager, often agitated desire. That's anxiety. That's kind of anxiety like when we're anxious for something to happen. It's kind of like, this needs to happen. And we're anxious for that. We almost get kind of agitated, as this definition says, over whatever that is that needs to happen. Now, anxiety is not all negative. It can have a positive effect in our lives. It may be a warning sign that we need to deal with something in our lives. We sometimes feel anxious, but we're not sure why. You ever had that sense? I'm feeling anxious. I don't quite know why. What's going on in my life? That's a good time to explore why we're anxious. That exploration may lead to growth or to some necessary actions to avoid greater difficulties. So maybe I'm feeling some kind of anxiety, and if I begin to explore it, maybe I find out it has something to do with some relationship that I have. And if I explore that, it may lead me to do some things in that relationship which will avoid some greater difficulties down the road. So it's a positive effect of anxiety. Anxiety may be motivational, such as a test date or a party date or the date of a job ending begins to draw near. We feel some anxiety. Our anxiety may increase, and what can that do? It can motivate us to begin to study or to begin to plan for that party that's coming up or begin looking for a new job. So there are some positive effects of anxiety if we face it well, if we handle it well. So the message this morning is not about how to live anxiety-free. So if you're hoping for that one, we don't have it. We all face some anxiety in our lives. The positive effects come into play when we manage our anxiety well. Otherwise, it may paralyze us, distract us, cause us to act in ways that are not helpful for us or for others. So what causes anxiety? Let's think about that a little bit. Future uncertainties cause us to be anxious. I know by the time I'm done with this list, you're all going to be feeling anxious probably. Some of us deal with uncertainty better than others, but all of us kind of like to have some certainties about the future. And when it's uncertain, it can cause anxiety. Fear from anticipating a threatening event can cause anxiety. Like when we're thinking about, I've got a presentation to do and I don't know how it's going to go, and we can get anxious about that. Or when we have something where we're like, this has to happen or else. Sometimes we get ourselves into that place where we get so focused on something has to happen or else something terrible is going to happen. Causes anxiety in us. When we feel solely responsible for an outcome that we can't guarantee. Feel like this, I'm responsible here. And we can't guarantee that it's going to happen, that it's going to come through. And here's one that I wouldn't have thought of on my own probably, but when I was reading about anxiety, cognitive dissonance. You might be like, what's cognitive dissonance? It's a condition of conflict or anxiety resulting from inconsistency between one's beliefs and one's actions. Sometimes we believe one thing and we're doing something else, and it creates anxiety. When I think about this, it reminds me of a story that my dad has told me a number of times about when he was a teenager. He grew up in a Mennonite community where movies were inherently bad, evil. You don't go to movies. So I don't know how, he was about 15 or 16 at the time, and he went to his first movie. And while he was sitting in that movie in the theater, he was terribly anxious. So anxious to the point, as he began to think about it, he was afraid Jesus would come back while he was sitting in that theater. And so he said in the middle of that movie, he had to get up and leave. He left. It made him so anxious. Well, what's going on there? Sometimes when we have this cognitive dissonance, there could be a couple things going on. We could have to pay attention to the fact that I'm doing some things that I don't really believe in, and I need to change the way I'm acting. I need to change what I'm doing in my life. The other thing that could be going on is maybe we're in a transition in our beliefs. Sometimes we kind of act that out. When what we believe is changing a little bit, sometimes what we do gets ahead of what we have figured out in our minds and in our hearts. And I actually think that's part of what was going on with my dad. He was actually making some changes. He was questioning some of the beliefs. I know that it was at some point during that life, during that point of his life, when he also was seriously thinking about how he was living as well. So both of those things were kind of going on. There was that kind of transition. So sometimes those things make us anxious. That's a good time to pay attention. Why am I so anxious here? Money can make us anxious, right? Either too little or too much. If you have too little, we're worried about providing for ourselves. Too much, we're depending on the money, putting our trust there, and we're anxious about, could I lose this money? What might happen? Midlife or identity crises can bring on anxiety. When there's a lack of trust, when we feel like we can't trust the people close to us, the people we need to depend on, can bring on anxiety. A loss of control. For instance, when our children leave the home, whether it's for the first time in kindergarten or later on, they go away to college, they move away, there's a sort of loss of control that can bring on some anxiety in our lives. A lot of causes for anxiety. The results of anxiety, what are they? Sleeplessness, we mentioned that already. Sometimes irritability. You ever get irritated with people when you're anxious? Sometimes we may distance ourselves from people. We kind of go off on our own. Our relationships may become stressed. Sometimes there's sickness. It can affect our bodies, and we may have more sickness when we're anxious. There's a lack of joy. Sometimes we make poor decisions, often poor decisions when we're anxious. I often think about Abraham in the Old Testament. In Genesis, it tells us a couple of times about this poor decision that Abraham made. He did it twice. He went into this new country, and he was afraid for himself, And evidently, his wife Sarah was exceedingly beautiful, because he was afraid that when he went into these countries that they were going to kill him in order to get his wife. And so on two occasions, Abraham said to Sarah, he said, when we get there, just tell him you're my sister. You're not my wife. He was so anxious about his safety that that's what he did. And in both occasions, it could have ended really badly, as kings did notice his wife, and they did, but they thought it was his sister, and so they said, hey, come in and be a part of my household. God was gracious with Abraham and intervened, and those situations ended up turning out all right, but poor decisions by Abraham because of his anxiety. Anxiety can inhibit our functioning, can paralyze us. And if anxiety really weighs down on us like that, it rarely achieves good things. Often hindsight tells us we should not put all of that energy into worry and anxiety. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about worry. He says this, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Kind of says, what good does this do you? And in Matthew 6:34, a little later in the chapter, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. Doesn't really get us very far. And yet we all deal with it, right? We all deal with anxiety. So I'd like this morning to take a look at Psalm 139, because Psalm 139 tells us some things about God that can be helpful for us. Now, we all know that what do you do about anxiety? The answer is trust God. That's what you do, right? Trust God. So even before we read Psalm 139, and that's on page 444 in your pew Bibles, if you're using a pew Bible, page 444, Psalm 139. Before we read it, I'm going to give you the first point here so that you can pick it out in the psalm. What can we do about anxiety? Trust God's presence, care, and intimate knowledge. Trust God's presence, His care, and His intimate knowledge of us. And you can kind of find these things in the psalm, and we'll talk about it, but let's read Psalm 139. This is a psalm of David. O Lord, You've searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to You. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with You. If only You would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, You bloodthirsty men. They speak of You with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse Your name. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against You? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Trust God's presence, His care, and His intimate knowledge of you. These thoughts are emphasized in Psalm 139. David calls on God. He says, "Know my anxious thoughts." Anxiety is deeply related to the way we think. How are we thinking about things? Part of God's work is to test us, to sort of make our anxieties known. Testing brings our anxieties to the surface. It's part of what God does with us. It shows us where we're not trusting God. And God is in the business of helping us to trust Him. The Christian life's a walk of learning to trust God's presence, to trust His care, to trust His knowledge of us, of our needs, of our welfare. I think I've told you before that when I was younger, as a ropes course instructor, like they have at camps, like they have at Beaver Camp, for those of you that have been there, on a ropes course, you're going way up in the trees. You're going to great heights. You could be rather anxious about falling, but you're tied in. You have a safety harness. And so when I used to do that, about halfway up the first ladder, I'd jump off because I wanted to test and see how that thing was going to hold me. And it always did, and it helped to reduce my anxiety the rest of the way. And so whenever I was instructing somebody else through the ropes course, halfway up the first ladder, I'd tell them, "Okay, stop. Jump off." I wanted to give them a little test at the beginning. Helps reduce their anxiety as they move up higher and through the ropes. David says, "Search me and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts." God tests us. That's part of what's going on with anxiety, is we're learning to trust God. So know His presence with us. David in this psalm says, "Where can I go? To the heavens, the depths, the far side of the sea, even in the darkness, even when the light becomes darkness, You're there. You're with me." Talks about the omnipresence of God. When we talk about the omnipresence of God, there's two things sometimes we talk about. One is that God's everywhere at one time. God's everywhere at all times. He's not limited to being here this morning and only here. He's everywhere else too. But this omnipresence that David's talking about here is a personal presence. David is saying, "Wherever I go, You're always there, God. You're always there with me. There's nowhere I can go that You won't be there with me." God's always present. We can always trust Him. He never leaves us. When we're in that place of anxiety, it's not a place where God is missing. He's there with us. We can trust Him in that. In Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking about worry, He makes the point. He says, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear." He says, "Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. The birds don't work, but God feeds them. The flowers don't spin, but God clothes them more beautifully than anything you've ever seen." And Jesus says, "Your worth is so much greater than the birds or the flowers. So don't worry, God will take care of you too, and of your needs." And so we're called to trust God, to trust His care. And then here in Psalm 139 again, to trust His intimate knowledge of us. God knows what we need. He knows all about us. David says, "You searched me, You know me. You know my thoughts. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You know when I come and go." He says, "You know even before I speak it what I was thinking and what I was about to say." He says, "You put me together in the womb. You know about the days that are planned for me." When I'm anxious, I may forget. God knows what I need. God knows exactly who I am. He knows exactly what I can and I can't do. He's with me. He's caring for me. He knows all about me. And so when we're anxious, that's a call to trust God. To say, I'm going to trust you in these things, Lord. Well, it's not always easy to do. How do we get ourselves into that, to trust God? One senior member of our congregation here told me that reading the Word helps to relieve her anxiety. Reading the Bible reminds us of who God is, of what He promises us, what He does for us. On the opposite side, the back side of your outline this morning, there's a list of scriptures. You may want to turn to them when you're anxious. And there's many more scriptures that you could read. But there's a list there. It helps us when we read scripture, when we remember those scriptures. It helps us to trust God, to begin to rest in Him. There's a story told about a man who was talking to a friend. He said, I have a mountain of credit card debt. He said, I've lost my job. My car has been repossessed. My house is in foreclosure. He said, I'm not worried about it. The other guy's like, not worried about it? What do you mean? How could you not be worried about that? Well, he said, I've hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me. That way I don't have to think about it. Wow, that's fantastic, the other guy said. What's this professional worrier cost? How much money does it cost? The guy said $50,000 a year. $50,000, where are you going to get that kind of money? The guy says, I don't know. That's his worry. Wouldn't it be nice if we could take care of anxiety like that, right? Somebody, we could just let somebody else worry for us, right? Well, this is what it says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. We do have a professional warrior. We can cast our cares, our anxiety on God. To trust God is humbling. It means saying that I can't do it all on my own. I've got to make room for God in my life. I have to admit that some things are beyond my control. It's an act of humility and trust before God, to cast our anxieties on Him, to let Him care for the things that we can't do, that we can't control. So trust God's presence, His care, His intimate knowledge of you. It's who David says God is to us. Proverbs 15:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. You know how an anxious heart weighs you down, and you know also how a kind word can cheer you up. When somebody encourages you. So one of the things to do in the face of anxiety is to seek encouragement. When anxious, we tend to maybe distance ourselves or to drive others away with our irritability. But we need to find time to express, time and place to express our anxiety to other people. I don't mean in a way where you kind of like dump your anxiety on them. Kind of like if you're anxious about something your child's going to do and you just express all that anxiety to them that it makes them anxious. I'm talking about the kind of thing where we own our anxiety and we talk to somebody that cares and we say, you know, I'm really anxious about this. This is causing some problems in my life. I'm worried about this. And we share it with them. We need that. We need people to encourage us. Sometimes it helps me just to have shared my anxiety with someone else. Even if they don't have any answers or really any words of advice, just the fact that I've shared it with them sometimes helps. A number of months ago, I was in some pretty deep anxiety. And being able to share that with my family really helped. And a number of other people really helped to be able to share that. We need that, that encouragement. At times we may be dealing with a very chronic anxiety such that it would benefit some very specific prayer or some very specific counseling. Sometimes when we really get caught up in anxiety, we may need to go to somebody, a counselor, a pastor, or just a good friend who can spend some time with us working through some of that. So seek encouragement when you're anxious. Pray when you're anxious. Philippians 4, 5, and 7, Paul says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says, when you're anxious, replace your anxiety with prayer. Talk to God about it. Anytime that you have something that has a vacuum in it, a can or something like that, and you open it, something's going to rush in to fill the vacuum. Or if you have, say, like a jar of water and it's closed, you put it under water, an empty jar, excuse me, closed, you put it under water, you open the lid, what's going to happen? Water's going to rush in there because that's what's around it. Whatever's in the atmosphere is going to rush in to an empty space and fill it. Paul's encouraging us to allow prayer rather than anxiety to fill the vacuums in our lives. What Paul's really saying is create an atmosphere of prayer in your life so that when those things that cause anxiety come, that's not just anxiety rushing into that space, but there's prayer there. There's God's presence which comes in to fill that space for us. As he talks about prayer here, he uses a number of words. He says prayer, first of all, referring to prayer in general. We might think about that as kind of a discipline in our lives, something we keep up, something that we keep at. That's what creates that atmosphere around us that prepares us for the times of anxiety. He mentions petition. It's a word that's used in other places referring to Jesus when he was praying with loud cries and tears in the garden. It's Paul when he refers to praying night and day in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. It's a type of prayer which is continual and passionate. You might almost say anxious prayer. It's when you're really feeling the need. Bring your petitions, Paul says to God. He says requests. Requests are what? They're specific. This is what I need, God, specifically. And with that, I'd like to say that silent listening is also a needed part of prayer. Otherwise, it's kind of like going to the doctor and never telling him all of your ailments, but not listening to what he says about your treatment, about what you need. David in Psalm 139 says, "Search me." Maybe a time of letting God point out something in our lives that needs to change. Pointing out maybe some cognitive dissonance that's going on there. We're receiving peace that passes all understanding, as Paul mentions. And finally, Paul talks about thanksgiving. He says, take your petitions and combine them with thanksgiving. We have a tendency to become focused on one issue to the exclusion of all else. Thanksgiving helps us focus elsewhere. It'll remind us of God's previous care. It'll remind us of His presence in our lives. Often when I'm anxious, I try to remember and thank God for the ways that He's been faithful. The result, Paul says, is peace that passes understanding. It's what I need when I'm anxious, because sometimes it's hard to understand how to deal with the anxiety. Finally, Jesus tells us something about prioritizing when we're anxious. Matthew 6:33 says, Jesus, as he talks about worry there, says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus says, make a priority of doing the things of the kingdom, of obeying what Jesus tells us to do. And when we do that, we cannot worry about those other things we're worrying about, because Jesus says, I'll take care of those. You take care of the priorities that I've given you. So when we're anxious, choose to put energy into that which is important and is within our control. That'll help relieve the anxiety. It's part of the walk of faith. Chuck Swindoll says, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Jesus says, prioritize today. What I've given you today, what can you do? Worry's often related to anticipation. And so we have to make a decision to trust for the moment rather than worry. Luke 21, Jesus says, verse 13 there, he says, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you'll defend yourselves. He's talking to the disciples about difficulties that they may have coming ahead, and they might anticipate those. And he says, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. And so sometimes we need to prioritize in order to face anxiety well. Overcoming anxiety begins with trusting God's presence, his care, his intimate knowledge in our lives. Have you been doing that? Do you need to recommit to that? Maybe there's an area in your life right now where you need to remember that you can trust God. Maybe you have anxiety that you need to share with somebody. You need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you just need to spend some time in prayer. Maybe you need to prioritize what it is you can do right now that God has given you to focus on. I'd like to ask you to stand this morning and the worship team to come up. Let's pray together. Lord, we all face anxiety in our lives. Sometimes it's rather brief, not too difficult to face. Other times it becomes deeper, longer lasting, as we face significant issues that give us anxiety. But Lord, you've promised to care for us, to take care of our needs. And so Lord, we ask that you would increase our levels of trust, that we'd be able to trust you, to trust your care, to trust that you're always with us, to trust, Lord, that you know what's going on. You know who we are, what we can and can't do, and how we deal with things. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that in those places where we're anxious, whether it's this morning or something we might face later on, Father, I ask that you in your goodness and your care for us would enable us to lay those anxieties before you. Father, allow it to motivate us when we need to be motivated. Enable us to be aware of things that we need to be made aware of. And then, Father, to trust you, to lay those things down before you. Father, I thank you that you care so deeply for us. And it's my prayer that each one of us this morning would be encouraged in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.